You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, February 3rd, 2026. You are my only one. For Devon and Coterra, a Permian match made in hydrocarbon heaven. Published by Housley Carr. The February 2nd announcement that Devon Energy and Coterra Energy have agreed to merge didn't come as a huge surprise. It had been rumored for weeks. The two large oil and gas producers have highly complementary assets in two major basins, the Permian's Delaware and the Anadarko, and, as they see it, their combination will likely provide $1 billion in synergy-related savings by the end of next year. Finally, and this is important, a Devon/Coterra combination had been urged on by activist investor Kimmeridge Energy Management, which Coterra in particular for falling short of its potential. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss the deal and its implications. The often frenetic pace of M&A activity in the upstream sector the past half decade has made many of us wonder, how long can it continue? Well, the apparent answer is at least into early 2026, as evidenced by the prospective Devon/Coterra merger, under which Devon will provide Coterra shareholders with a 0.7 share of Devon stock for each share they own. The deal, valued at about $21.4 billion, is expected to close in Q2 2026, and the combined company, to be named Devon Energy and be headquartered in Houston, will have an estimated 2026 production of more than 1.6 million BOE per day. With an enterprise value of $58 billion, the combo will rank fourth among U.S.-based E&Ps, behind only ConocoPhillips, $146 billion, Diamondback Energy, $70 billion, and EOG Resources, $65 billion. ExxonMobil and Chevron, each of which are considered integrated majors, and not simple E&Ps, because of their refining operations, are even larger U.S. producers. Each has just over 2 million BOE per day in U.S. production, about 1.5 million barrels per day of it in the form of oil. In many ways, the Devon-Coterra deal reminds us of ConocoPhillips' $22.5 billion acquisition of Marathon Oil, which closed in November 2024 and which we discussed in Everybody Dance Now. It's not just the almost equal value of the deals, it's also the fact that, like pre-combo ConocoPhillips and Marathon, Devon and Coterra are both active in multiple U.S. shale plays and have significant amounts of side-by-side, or close-by, acreage in at least a couple of them. The deal also echoes at least some elements of SM Energy's merger with Civitas Resources, see Started from the Bottom, which closed on January 30 and combined two similarly sized E&Ps with acreage in several plays, including the Permian. For Devon and Coterra, like ConocoPhillips Marathon, the Permian, or, more specifically, the Delaware Basin in West Texas and southeastern New Mexico, is key. Devon has about 400,000 net acres and 496,000 BOE per day of production in the play, as of Q3 2025, 45% of it crude oil, while Coterra has 346,000 net acres and 367,000 BOE per day of production, 44% oil. Devon and Coterra are also active in the Anadarko, where significant portions of their combined 520,000 net acres in Oklahoma are complementary, and their pro forma production is expected to average 173,000 BOE per day. Again, Devon's acreage is shown in orange and Coterra's in teal. Devon alone is active in the Eagle Ford. Coterra produces about 330,000 BOE per day, or about 2 BCF per day of natural gas, in the dry gas-only Marcellus in northeastern Pennsylvania, and Devon produces a total of 205,000 BOE per day in the Bakken and the Niobrara. All in, the pro forma company will have a total of nearly 2.3 million net acres in the U.S. and, as we said in the introduction to today's blog, total production of more than 1.6 million BOE per day. That will make the combined Devon and Coterra the number 2 E&P in the lower 48 by production on a BOED basis, bested only by ConocoPhillips. The merging companies expect their crude oil production this year will average about 555,000 barrels per day, which would rank pro forma Devon number 3 among lower 48 E&Ps, behind only ConocoPhillips and Occidental Petroleum and just above EOG and Diamondback. The colored circle to the upper right in Figure 3 shows that 53% of the Devon-Coterra combo's estimated 2026 production, on a 1,000 BOE per day basis, will come from the Delaware Basin, followed by 20% from the Marcellus, 14% from the Anadarko and Eagle Ford, and 13% from the Rockies, Bakken and Niobrara. The $1 billion of run rate synergies that Devon and Coterra expect to realize by year-end 2027 break down this way. Number 1. $350 million in capital optimization, including identified opportunities to immediately reallocate capacity to enhance efficiency and free cash flow, longer laterals on adjoining acreage, and economy of scale-related savings in supply chain costs. Number 2. $350 million in operating margin improvements from streamlining operations and cost efficiency uplift, again from complementary assets, as well as optimization of infrastructure and marketing arrangements. Number 3. $300 million in reduced corporate costs, to be achieved by eliminating redundant expenses and consolidating duplicate functions. In addition, our enhanced credit profile provides opportunities to refinance debt at more favorable rates, said Devon President and CEO Clay Gaspar, who will retain those roles when the companies combine. Coterra President and CEO Tom Jordan will serve as non-executive chairman. Since November 2025, Coterra has been under pressure from Kimmeridge Energy Management, a private energy investor that publicly criticized the company's strategy and governance. Kimmeridge also owns shares of Devon. More specifically, Kimmeridge asserted that the 2021 merger of Cabot Oil and Gas and Cimarex Energy, which resulted in the formation of Coterra Energy, created a company with decidedly mismatched assets, namely, gas-focused holdings in the Marcellus and oil and gas holdings in the Permian and Anadarko. In an open letter to the company 3 months ago, Kimmeridge said, "Coterra now trades at a significant discount to both Permian and gas-focused peers, underscoring the market's rejection of a merger that prioritized self-preservation over strategic merit." Kimmeridge maintains that Coterra's path forward hinges on new leadership and a renewed focus on the Delaware Basin. Last month, when rumors about a likely merger of Devon and Coterra came to the fore, Kimmeridge indicated its support for a deal. Still to be determined are, 1. Whether the newly announced Devon/Coterra merger fully addresses Kimmeridge's concerns and, 2. Whether the pro forma E&P will eventually divest some or all of the non-Permian assets that Kimmeridge has suggested it should. Devon's Gaspar said during the company's merger-related call on February 2 that the first priority for the new management team will be thinking about capital allocation amongst their combined assets and, absolutely, asset rationalization. But he did not discuss possible divestments. Gaspar did say that he believes the Anadarko is having a new day. There's been a lot of private equity excitement and investment, certainly, in part because of the rising demand for natural gas along the Gulf Coast and the boost that provides to the Anadarko's economics. He added that it's too early to say that we're going to rededicate a significant amount of capital there. I just think there's real upside value creation for that asset. U.S. natural gas production in Texas and elsewhere will be among the many topics discussed at RBN's upcoming GasCon 2026. The one-day conference, to be held at Hilton Americas in Houston on Wednesday, February 25th, will bring together RBN's top analysts and leading executives from across the industry to discuss the latest developments in Gulf Coast gas markets. "You Are My Only One" was written by James Taylor and appears as the third song on side two of James Taylor's 11th studio album, That's Why I'm Here. The soft rock love ballad was released as a single in January 1986 and went to number 6 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary Singles chart. Personnel on the record were James Taylor, lead, backing vocals, guitar, Bill Payne, Don Grolnick, keyboards, Tony Levin bass, Russ Kunkel, drums, Jimmy Malin, percussion, and David Lasley, backing vocals. That's Why I'm Here was recorded in 1985 at Right Track Studios in New York City and Air Studios in Montserrat. It was produced by Peter Asher, Frank Philippet, and James Taylor and was the first new album from Taylor in 4 years, following a period of personal turmoil and a divorce from Carly Simon. Released in October 1985, it went to number 34 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 4 singles were released from the LP. James Taylor is an American singer, songwriter, and guitarist. His professional career was launched when he became the first non-British artist signed to the Beatles' Apple Records label in 1968. That was where he met his future manager and producer, Peter Asher. Taylor has released 20 studio albums, 4 live albums, 7 compilation albums, 1 EP and 42 singles, and has sold more than 100 million records worldwide. He co-starred, along with Beach Boy Dennis Wilson and Warren Oates, in the cult motion picture about street racing, Two Lane Blacktop, in 1971. He has won 6 Grammy Awards and is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Taylor has received Kennedy Center Honors, a National Medal of the Arts, a Presidential Medal of Freedom, and an honorary doctorate of music from Williams College. He continues to record and tour, and will begin a U.S. tour in April.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.